merchant loses everything in a shipwreck. His cargo, his fortune, his entire livelihood, gone in a single afternoon. Most people would call that a catastrophe. Zeno of Citium called it a beginning. According to ancient accounts, it was precisely that kind of devastating loss that drove Zeno to Athens in the early 3rd century BCE, where he began teaching a philosophy that would eventually reach emperors and enslaved people alike. He gathered his students not in a private academy reserved for the wealthy, but in a public colonnade, the Stoa Poikile, the Painted Porch, in the Athenian Agora. That open, accessible location was no accident. It meant anyone could listen. And that is how Stoicism got its name, from a porch, not a palace. Here is the first thing worth knowing, Patricia. The word Stoic in everyday language has drifted far from its origins. When someone calls a person Stoic today, they usually mean cold, unfeeling, a human wall. That picture is almost exactly wrong. The ancient Stoics did not advocate emotional numbness. Their actual goal was freedom from irrational passions, fear, excessive desire, distress, while fully retaining reason-guided responses and genuine commitments to others. Think of it this way. A Stoic surgeon stays calm in a crisis, not because she doesn't care, but because her care is disciplined enough to be useful. That distinction matters enormously. Stoic philosophy was designed as a way of life, a practical discipline, not merely a theoretical body of knowledge sitting on a shelf. The school organized its teaching into three interconnected parts: logic, physics, and ethics. Logic gave practitioners tools for clear thinking, theories of language, inference, and the criteria by which beliefs can be judged. Physics described the cosmos as an ordered, unified whole, governed by a rational principle, the Stoics called the Logos. Now, the key idea in Stoic physics is not abstract stargazing. It grounds the ethics. If the universe operates according to rational order, then human beings, who are rational and social creatures, flourish by aligning with that order. That alignment is what the Stoics meant by living according to nature. Stoic ethics holds that the ultimate goal of human life is eudaimonia, often translated as flourishing or happiness. And here is the striking claim: virtue alone is necessary and sufficient to achieve it. The four virtues are wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance. Wealth, health, reputation, the things most people spend their lives chasing, the Stoics classified as indifference. Not worthless, but not unconditionally good either. You can prefer health to illness, that is reasonable, but your flourishing cannot depend on it. That brings us to the concept that makes Stoicism genuinely useful in daily life. Patricia, the dichotomy of control. A central Stoic distinction separates what is within our control, our judgments, our choices, our responses, from what is not fully within our control, such as reputation, wealth, health, and what other people do. The Stoic response to any external event depends primarily on the judgment a person makes about that event, not on the event itself. For example, suppose you are passed over for a promotion. The Stoic framework asks, what part of this is actually yours to govern? Your effort, your character, your next decision, those are yours. The outcome, the opinion of your manager, the economy, those are not. Stoic theory treats passions like fear and distress as connected to mistaken judgments about what is genuinely good or bad. Correct the judgment, and you correct the suffering. That is not cold indifference. That is precision. The three figures you will encounter most in this course, Seneca, Epictetus, and Marcus Aurelius, each lived that framework under radically different circumstances. Epictetus was born enslaved. Marcus Aurelius ruled an empire. Seneca navigated the treacherous politics of Nero's court. Remember this: Stoicism was never a philosophy for comfortable people in comfortable times. It was built for the trenches of life, for moments when the shipwreck has already happened and you still have to decide who you are going to be. The takeaway from everything covered here is this: Stoicism is not about suppressing what you feel. It is a practical framework for distinguishing between what you can control and what you cannot, so that your energy, your judgment, and your character remain yours, no matter what the world takes away.